so, so, so much. I love you so, 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 so much. Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we're super happy to have you here. And if you've been listening and enjoying for a while, I would be super grateful if you would please take a moment to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's one of the best and simplest ways to pay it forward and help others find the show so that they too can tap into the powerful perspectives and positive vibrations we are collectively emanating. The other unique and magical way to share the show is by sending any friends you think would benefit from listening to this podcast our Game with the Universe link at positivehead.com/game. Also listed in the show notes, which will serve them up a quote-unquote random episode when they click it. Just instruct them before clicking the link to close their eyes for a moment and sincerely ask the universe to cue up the episode that contains the insight and perspectives that they most need to hear at this point in their life journey, and then click to listen to whatever episode is synchronistically served up to them. I have heard time and time again from people about the incredible results they received playing the game. So just tell your friends, magical results are guaranteed or their karma back. All right, all you positive heads, welcome back to another episode. Here we go again. So happy to be here with you guys. As always, it's a pleasure and an honor to connect. Today, I am going to read a chapter from Oneness. It's turned into a Thursday thing for me ever since Alexa and the rest of you guys took over Fridays with the P-Head Posse shows, where it's all about the listeners and your journey, you know, both with finding the show and sort of what's going on in your life and What's the happenings in your world? So I decided, of course, read quite a bit of the chapters at this point, probably over half, I would guess. And so I'm going to continue reading those. And Thursdays, it used to be Friday. Now Thursday's the day. You guys can go back and search Oneness on positivehead.com. By the way, if you love these readings, if you hear this, let's say for the first time today, go to positivehead.com, search the archives, type in the word Oneness, all the previous chapters that I've read, you can listen to. Don't really need to listen in order, which is great. Or you can just get the book by Rasha that I'm reading from. It is received and transcribed by Rasha. She claims that in 1998, this information came through to her from a non-physical presence referring to itself as Oneness. As I often say, I really am, as far as those things go, I'm less concerned with that process as I am the message. And the message is phenomenal in this book. It definitely, for me, is the guidebook for ascension, as I like to put it. It is it tells you what you can expect as you continue on your journey to back to oneness, right? As we all come back together, the pieces of the puzzle that have been scattered across time and space are starting to align and sync up and figure out how we can work together, knowing that we're literally all pieces of the same puzzle. So with that process, there are certain things. Of course, you have your own unique trajectory and unique experiences, but there are certain, symptoms that you can expect in this process. And in this book, goes into great detail on that. So it's been very helpful to me, and that's why I started reading it. And before I do jump into today's chapter, which, by the way, is chapter 9, which came up, sometimes I ask, by the way, on the Positive Heads Facebook group. So if you guys aren't on Positive Heads, it's a private group we have on Facebook where you can connect with other listeners, open up about personal questions without the rest of, you know, Facebook land sort of getting a peek into that stuff. And sometimes I'll go and ask for a number, 1 to 44, because there's 44 chapters in the book, and get one. But oftentimes, more often than that, I take and do a little meditation always before I begin recording, and then use a random number generator. And today's number that popped up is chapter 9. So we're going to read that for the first time. Speaking of last time, I actually read a chapter over that I had read months back. Somehow I overlooked that I had already read it. So someone must have been needing to hear that one again. That's definitely the first time. There's two Positive Head podcasts floating out there who are very similar, although I did add on some unique things at the end and whatnot. So, so yeah, they're slightly different, but that was kind of funny. So I'll be extra careful not to do that one again. Today is chapter 9. And before we get into that, I would like to take a moment and read a review on iTunes. You guys know I love my iTunes reviews. Not only do they help us to reach new people, but they definitely help to fuel my fire to continue this labor of love. And this one came in by Julie Navaleno, and Julie said, "Awesome start to every day. I've been wanting to give the Positive Head podcast a 5-star rating for a while now, but life sometimes gets in the way. Brandon calls this a labor of love, and I have to say that the efforts of Brandon and Dalian have been a strong positive influence that helps to guide my days in a positive direction. Brandon and Dalian bring forth many ideas and theoretical concepts that make you really consider the vastness of our existentialism. This show really helps me to understand that life might be something completely different from what others have tried to teach me growing up. Thank you guys for giving me alternative concepts regarding our existence that ultimately result in boosting our levels of hope and happiness." All right. Well, this person, Julie, thank you so much for taking the time to review, and glad I could help to get you to consider outside of the box of what was handed to you as a child. Right. That's what happens to a lot of us. We're handed these thoughts and beliefs, and either in many cases, people never put those down. And in cases like mine and Julie's and a lot of you guys, you start scratching your head saying, "Hold on, this doesn't really feel right or make sense," and start looking beyond what you were taught. And Julie must either A, listen to a lot of older podcasts when Dalian was co-hosting, or B, heard the most recent episode where I give a huge shout out to Dalian, who's such a big contributor to the show. He started out originally co-hosting on the show, and now he acts as the producer, editing and releasing the show each day. So he definitely is still involved on a different level than early on. But yeah, so pretty cool that Dalian's mentioned there. Dalians, we love you. See, there's still much love out there for you, man. So once again, if you haven't reviewed on iTunes, please take the time to do so. It is the holy grail of all things podcasting. Also, sharing with other people is a huge, huge way to get the show out to, more listeners and helping the extensions of ourselves to, awaken. Or plant that seed to get them to question what they were taught growing up. And a good way, fun way I found to do it is, I love playing with the universe any way that I can. I actually had a quote that kind of came to me earlier based off of something I saw online. And it was, the universe will meet you halfway to play. And I really believe that if you step out and say, okay, I'm setting the intention to create synchronicity and magic and play, it'll meet you halfway. And the fact that that rhymes is just a bonus. So what I recommend people doing is have your friends that you think would really benefit from the show. Choose a number between 1 and what is it now? About 645 episodes, 650, somewhere around there. Choose a number between 1 and 650. And then once they've chosen that number, then send them that episode and tell them, oh, this is check this out. This is a message from your higher self that you want you to know. I found that is a fun way to really kind of intrigue people. They're going to be curious, like, okay, is there something to this? So it gives them another way to engage, and a playful way to engage. So that's something that I definitely recommend you guys trying with your friends who you think, if you just say, hey, listen to the show, they might not do it. But if you approach them in that way and get them to choose a number and then say, okay, your higher self just chose this number, there's going to be a message in there that's just for you. You're going to find that very, very, very often, if not all the time, there's going to be something that person was really ready to hear. And in some cases, really, really, wild synchronistic stuff unfolds, as you guys seen with the stories in the Facebook group or the stories that I recount here on the show. I'll give you actually another great example before I read today. So a longtime P-head and listener and longtime friend of mine, Melissa, who posts from time to time in the group, she's actually, I have visitors through my house, you know, quite often people come to stay with me and visit, and friends from all over. And she was, she's in town visiting for the first time in maybe a couple of years. And last night during, you know, middle of the night, I hear like, you know, speak out really loudly asleep talking about the Emerald Path or something. I'm not quite on the Emerald Path yet or something. So then she goes this morning. I tell her, I'm like, yeah, you talked. Funny enough, she even asked me, did I talk in my sleep? I'm like, oh, funny you say that. Yeah, actually you did. And like, I've kind of forgotten until you just said that. You said something about not quite on the Emerald Path. Now, she is an artist that's had, her work in a gallery, in multiple galleries. She's spent last summer in Europe on a artist grant, I believe, and just very, very artistic, talented person, dancer and, you know, all kinds of productions and just everything artistic related, very, very talented. So it was a crazy synchronicity because we were having conversations about, you know, sort of her finding her exact path and things like that just before her asking that question this morning. And what do you know, after I say the Emerald Path thing, she goes and looks it up. And I guess there's a book about an artist, a girl who's an artist who is trying to find her way. And there's deals with death and believing in herself fully. And, you know, Melissa also had a really impactful, you know, death situation that happened with her father, who was actually murdered years back. And it was, you know, big story. And so, I mean, she started reading this book. Like, she looked up the Emerald, you know, afterwards, after me telling her that she talked about it in her sleep. And literally it's a book that sounds like it's like written about someone just like her life. And so, very, very trippy, indeed, this morning. So that was another cool story I thought I would share with you guys. But yeah, the universe likes to play. It will meet you halfway. And, let's meet halfway into chapter 9 of Oneness, shall we? Let's see what the random number generator wanted to serve up that is meant to be heard today by those of you listening. Meant to be heard by me reading it today. Maybe you're listening 10 years from now. I don't know. But whenever it is, it's perfect. And it's going to be about the plate of life, an allegory, confronting resistance to change, coming to terms with obsolete priorities, recreating your life as a joyous reflection of who you really are. Once again, this is chapter 9 from the book Oneness, The Teachings, received and transcribed by Rasha. Here we go. This is the time to imagine what life might be like if you were able to manifest what you really want. How would you orchestrate your life if there were no limit to what you were able to have or do? If you could start again at the very beginning or anywhere in between, how would your story read? How would your journey end? That is a good place to begin. Working backwards now from a vantage point of the end of your life, having created it as perfection, having accomplished all you sought to, having experienced all you hoped to, having tasted all you wished to, having manifested the highest possible expression of your own dream of physical reality, where would you be now? If you are taking your final breaths and watching an instant replay of all of it in your mind's eye, how would it feel to you? Would there be contentment? Would there be joy in the moments of the culmination of your life story? Would there be any reluctance whatsoever to move on? Look at it. This is the time to dream your dream as it can be. For all of it can be. What remains to be seen is what of it, from the realm of all possibilities, you will choose to experience. When presented with an enormous table laden with foodstuffs and delectable confections and one average-sized plate in hand, which selections do you put on the plate? All will not fit, and to sample more than a few savory bits would grow to be distasteful. Yet all the choices are right there awaiting you. All potentially have already manifested as possibility. Which, then, do you choose to experience consciously? Naturally, the question arises, how many plates is one allowed to have? In answer, there is no limit to the number of plates one may take and fill to brimming if so desired. The rule is, only one plate may be taken on each visit to the table, and a fresh plate must be taken, should one desire to visit the table again. You are not required to finish everything you have put on your plate. Perhaps in anticipation, you have created a plate laden with fruit. After mouthful of sweet, delectable fruit, the fruit begins to appear less appealing. After a while, one may regret putting so much fruit on the plate and choose not to experience what remains. One would feel, in that moment, quite satisfied as far as fruit was concerned. Yet, there would be the sense that something was left to be desired. Somewhere, there still might be a craving for spice and an appetite for the adventure of the table. But until the fruit plate was turned in, cleaned of its offerings or not, another fresh plate was not possible. And a bit of time would need to be allowed before one could digest all the fruit and be ready to appreciate the delights of a plate filled with spice. This ritual can be performed endlessly. Any of an infinite number of combinations of possibilities can be placed on a clean plate in the experience of visiting the table. Yet eventually, one tires of the table. Eventually, one has tasted and satisfied oneself with so many variations on so many themes that one does not feel the need to experience the table. One becomes aware that there is not the hunger for the selection on the table that once there was. In fact, one becomes aware that one is able to live quite happily without visiting the table at all. For the fullness of all the experiences at the table leaves one infinitely nourished, and one feels quite content to be still. Just to be. That is the stage of beingness that many of you are encountering in these times. Having tasted the indescribable joy of just being, one feels less inclined, at a soul level, to spend yet another large chunk of time on yet another visit to the table. For, in between visits to the table, there would have been periods of resting and digesting, where varying levels of just being in the stillness, the isness, had been experienced. In fact, there you sit now, with quite a full plate, feeling less and less inclined to follow through with mouthful after mouthful of what you once imagined would be enjoyable. Instead, you remember, on a level you cannot even identify, how absolutely wonderful it was when there was no plate at all, and no table. Somewhere within, you are able to recreate the conditions from that other interim state of being, and you choose, in isolated moments, to take a break from the brimming plate to just be. Eventually, it becomes so obvious that the experience of isness is so satisfying that isness becomes one's priority, plate or no plate. When confronted with the realization, it is clear at a soul's level that one may be complete with the table. And one understands that it is perfectly wonderful to just be, even though there is technically still a plate in hand. Until one is at that point, however, there is still a spectacular table. And the truth remains that one stands before the table in every given moment, able to create and recreate the variations on the plate at will. One is not stuck with an unappetizing plate of leftovers simply because one has tasted some of the selections on the plate. And one is not required to force oneself to consume what's left on the plate simply out of habit. The opportunity to transform that picked over plate into one that is covered with fresh, tempting selections is always there. And that possibility is yours to exercise at all times, at will. For the plate is not one conceived in limitation. Its offerings are only as one perceives them to be. And as one rises to the fullness of one's ability to manifest one's reality and to create what one truly wishes to experience, there is no limit to what one plate can offer. The plate of life is a reflection of your choices in every given moment. Whether the plate appears full or appears empty to others is irrelevant to the way in which it nourishes your state of beingness in any given moment. A pristine, empty plate could be perceived by some to be a reflection of deprivation and a cause for concern or compassion. Yet, to the one who holds that plate, its fresh emptiness is a reflection of one who has chosen to travel unencumbered. That plate's austere appearance may well be a reflection of an awareness of the riches of unmanifested experience of the world within that others cannot see in physical form. To attain that level of beingness, one's plate, by definition, would have been cleared of superfluous choices. There would have been an awareness in the process that one cannot travel with ease, focused on the metaphysical, while bearing the burden of a heavy laden plate. And radical choices would have been made that would enable that individual to explore the unlimited possibilities of flying in the heights of human experience without having to be concerned with balancing one. In these times, many have sought instinctively to simplify their experience and stand ready to teach others by example to do the same. still others who are in the interim stages of transformation wrestle with the logistics of integrating their newfound awareness with commitments that have been made while creating a life of complexity. It is the ones who stand on the brink of spiritual breakthrough and have achieved, fleetingly, a connectedness with multidimensional aspects of themselves who feel most poignantly the contradictions posed by bridging two worlds. In the days to come, these ones can anticipate a confrontation with their own inner knowingness regarding the direction in which they perceive their lives to be headed. And many will succumb to their own reluctance to dismantle the entanglements that have defined their existence thus far. We do not wish to imply that it is in any way inferior to have manifested an accumulation of belongings on your journey. These are the trappings of an incarnate experience. Yet it is important that one consider the price one may be paying in terms of self-compromise in order to maintain a lifestyle whose relevance may be obsolete. When the motives for material advantages were based in a mindset of competitiveness, which was a manifestation of ego, the sense of satisfaction that had been anticipated and hoped for may not have been realized. One is left with the empty evidence of material gain that is devoid of the passion with which one came into form. It is that passion that seeks expression, for that is the driving force of creation which powers all life. When the zest for living and expressing and creating is missing from one's day-to-day activities, one has essentially disconnected from one's own divine essence and from the inner connectedness of all life. The key to that connectedness lies not in whether or not one has a rich array of selections on one's plate of life, but in whether one is able to express and to experience one's joy of living through those choices. Many who read these words have experienced the agonies of realizing that the scenario that they have spent most of their lifetime constructing no longer delivers the satisfaction that had been envisioned. Yet, there is so much investment in terms of time, effort, and resources in the maintenance of that lifestyle that the prospect of change is daunting. When one's deepest needs as a spiritual being are repressed or sacrificed to the maintenance of a surface lifestyle built on a foundation of material gain, the energy that seeks expression will set about to manifest that change if those choices are not made consciously. When one has opened to the higher energies that are driving all of creation toward oneness, it is not possible to continue to manifest conditions of separation in one's outer world. Should steps not be taken to shift the focus of one's life in such a way that the joy of living is made manifest, that energy of disconnection will set about a chain reaction whereby change is manifested despite one's best efforts to preserve the status quo. It is to be expected in these times that one's house of cards comes crashing down quite unexpectedly when one perceives oneself to be stuck in the stranglehold of obsolete commitments. It is entirely possible to modify such an extreme scenario of energy transformation by tuning in to the relevance of one's life choices to one's state of beingness and taking action to consciously shift that focus in the early stages of the process. 4, it will not be possible to avoid the changes that must be made energetically in order to keep pace with your spiritual evolution. You are becoming who you truly are. Many of you, in spite of yourselves and despite your reluctance to defy consensus reality and to stand up and be counted. That too will come to pass when the moment is right. The work now at hand is to arrive at that moment. The task before you is the assessment of your circumstances and the modification of any and all aspects of your mode of creative expression so that it becomes a joyous reflection of the higher energies with which you are aligned. It is the nature of the process to bring up for scrutiny the core issues that served as the very foundation of one's lifestyle. Recognition of the rudimentary belief structure and the priorities that underlie your conscious choices is a fundamental part of the restructuring process. Fear of loss of what one perceives oneself to have built is a powerful impetus for the shifting of that energy. For fear of anything whatsoever is a catalyst for the manifestation of that very outcome. In order to redirect the focus of one's intent so that it is aligned with the momentum of change inherent in life itself, it is necessary to be willing to let go of what no longer serves you energetically and to make way for the manifestation of a radical new direction. The belief structure you are setting about to realign is the vehicle that provides the momentum for your transformation in these times. The time is now for your honest scrutiny of those core beliefs to determine whether you are still able to give mental credence to concepts on which you have based your life choices. Chances are you have gone through the motions of accepting much of what society has ingrained in your consciousness. And unquestionably, you have emerged from the stupor of your day-to-day existence with an underlying litany that served to reinforce the standard of separation that is the norm in your culture. The values with which you nurture your young are steeped in the very notions of striving and of exceeding the performance of others, which creates the energetic rift that divides you. One being's triumph, when it is at the expense of another's well-being, is a recipe for disaster all the way around in these times. The premise that would have the gain of one counterbalanced with loss by another is the very manifestation of duality that must be transcended if the harmony of oneness is to be achieved. For in the circumstances to come, the efforts of all will, by definition, manifest for the good of all. It cannot be otherwise. Those who persist in the myopic, ego-centered focus of the present will fall by the wayside as they encounter and integrate the higher frequencies. The thrust of the momentum towards the unification of all consciousness will not touch some and spare others. All will feel and manifest the consequences of aligning with or resisting the powerful energies of change. All will know as they rise to the fullness of their potential as beings or succumb to their stubborn refusal to acknowledge their connectedness that the force they have encountered is undeniable. Some will call it God and will open with the fullness of their essence to the opportunity to integrate and become one with all that is. And some will grumble and curse their deteriorated circumstances and blame others for their plight. As the schism widens between those living in alignment and those living in separation from the energy of oneness, it will not be possible to maintain a position of compromise. Ultimately, the choice must be made to respond to the energy that reaches out to include you in its loving embrace. Recognizing that invitation within the depths of one's heart is the beginning of the process. And as the smile of inner recognition spreads across your face, you know, without knowing how, that a passionate, never-ending journey has begun. And that's the end of chapter 9. I love that. I love everything that was shared there. Great, great analogy using the plate and going back again and again. Definitely something that, you know, as I know for me, as I've achieved material success, you know, in my journey, it's not something that really fulfills you. What fulfills you is finding purpose. Things are really, I mean, I like nice things. I'm sure you guys like nice things. But living your whole life to chase these things, I mean, I get a new car and a week later, I'm tired of it. I don't know about you. I just don't care anymore. I mean, I know different people have different things that excite them and some get more excited about such things than others. But for me, doing, you know, anything I can to uplift others is by far the most rewarding. You know, whenever I get reviews like you guys share, and they mean the world. I mean, it's better than anything. It's like helping extensions of yourself and understanding that, isn't it a great relief to think about this whole idea of competition and success that is gauged? Your whole life is a sort of a competition to see how much quote unquote success, material success you can achieve. And that's the measure of your worth. That's what a society has taught you to now be learning that that is completely false. It has absolutely nothing to do with your worth. You are literally a divine spark, a chip off of source. As Rumi said, you are not a drop in the ocean. You are the entire ocean in a drop. To know that, and that has nothing to do with things and achievement and how big of a title you have, all these sort of old paradigm constructs and ideas, to be able to put that down at this point in your journey, isn't that a relief? Especially if you haven't lived up to your own standards of success, you know, based off of that old idea of success. Wow, talk about a reboot. Now you get to fully move into the knowingness of you are the entire ocean in a drop, and what that means, and how you can feel that in such a way that you don't even care about going back to the table and getting more stuff, right? And it's a beautiful, beautiful place that you've arrived at. It's a big turning point. And I hope you fully appreciate it for what it is, and you just let go of those old stories of your value and worth being you know, tied to what sort of material success. That is a dead story. It has no place in your world anymore. This is the beginning of a journey, as it said at the very end. And you've got a new perspective to go with it. And being the entire ocean in a drop has pretty much endless possibility to it. The more you feel that, the more you love yourself, the more you appreciate yourself for the truth of who and what you are, you know, not based off of what you have, but who you are at the core. That is going to be, the more you tap into that, that self-love, that authentic self-love, the more you'll see the external shifting and reflecting that back to you in the relationships that maybe fall away, or new ones that come in, or the current ones and how they change and how they start treating you. All the opportunities that will arise because of that reflection of self. It's a, you know, I think of the Derek Rydell interview. There's a few of them, but recently, if you go back maybe 2 months ago, Derek, and look up Derek Rydell, he tells a great story of being, you know, completely filled up with who and what he was and knowing his true power, even though he had been diminished to a waiting tables job, you know, at one point, in which it, you know, initially was a real blow to his ego, but then he used that as a tool, and it was no longer a fit after he felt like so much more and embraced where he was and loved where he was and did the best job he could. It's like you have the option to do that now and to literally, sync up with new vibrational reflections that represent the next version of you. You don't even need to work at it hard. That's the thing. You don't need to think about what your next move is externally. Think about what your next move is internally. Get in touch with this knowingness that you are the entire drop in an ocean, and feel that to your core, and feel that self-love, and walk with your head held high, knowing your true worth finally has nothing to do with this old story that someone told you that had no idea about what they were talking about. Ultimately, and watch how things rearrange to match your internal state. Well, this has been a joy as always. I love you guys. I do have a song to leave you with. This song is called All I Can Give to You by Good Lee. And thank you for all you give to me. I love you guys so, so much. Until next time, journey well. We'll be right back.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.